The Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the authority or the power, the right to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Two very informative verses from the Bible. How does one become a child of God? How does one become a Christian? How does one get into the family of God? Well, you say, most of us probably are already Christians. We go to a Christian church. That does not make a person a Christian. There are people who have their names on church rolls, and they're not a Christian. That just means they're a member of that church or that religious organization. That doesn't make them a Christian. By filling out a card or by some ritual, whether it's baptism, and I've been baptized, but that did not put me into the family of God. That did not make Peter Ramsey a Christian. The verse is very clear here. Let's read it again. As many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, Donald Trump, a billionaire, I guess, he is flirting with the idea of running for president in the United States. And that's his right in a free country. If he can come up with the money, and if anyone can, it's probably Donald Trump. But he made some comments recently that sort of disturbed me about his faith, if you call it that. Because, you know, there's a large segment of the American population that want to see a Christian in the White House. And so Donald Trump was asked if he was a Christian. Oh, he said, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Yeah, he said, I love my church. I've got a great church. I'm a Christian. And they asked him about the Bible. Oh, yeah, great, great book. And he said, like I'm a Sunday Christian. I go at Christmas and Easter. Yeah. And that's all he said. And I am not the judge, nor have I seen God's records. But when I read that, there just seemed to be something not clicking there. Just didn't seem to add up. Because if I read my Bible carefully and closely, anyone who is a Christian, one of the very first things they want to talk about is what the Lord Jesus Christ means to them personally. You are hardly in a conversation with them. They're not talking about their wonderful church or about their pastor. They're not talking about, oh, Mr. Dirksen, he's tall, handsome, and he's such an orator. They're not talking about that. If you're going to ask them about being a Christian, they'd say, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I remember that moment in my life when I received him personally as my Savior and I was welcomed into the family of God. That's what a Christian, a true Christian, I'm not talking about a nominal Christian, a Christian who is one just by name only. There are a dime a dozen out there. They have a name. When Statistics Canada calls up, what's your religion? Christian. You could teach a parrot to say that. Really? A Christian, a true, genuine, authentic Christian is one who has received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're inside the family of God. So the verse says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on His name. Tremendous opportunity awaits the people of Kamloops. I'm sure I haven't met very many people in Kamloops, but I am sure there are quite a few people in this city and in the province of British Columbia who know what it is to be in the family of God. There's some people here tonight, and they'll probably shake their hands and they say, are you asking me if I'm in the family of God? Are you asking me if I know Christ as my Savior? If I am a true blue Christian? And they'll squeeze your hand a little bit harder and say, thank God I am. But you know what? The good news, we call these good news meetings. Do you know what the good news is? That is an opportunity for everybody in British Columbia and around the world. Everybody could be in the family of God. Of all the opportunities ever handed to you in life, this outstrips them all. Every other opportunity is time specific, but this one includes eternity. To be in the family of God means not only in this life, but forever. Once you're in the family of God, you can never be out of the family of God. Tremendous opportunity not to be on the periphery, not to be on the margins or on the fringe, but to be the children of God. There's a lot of folks went over to London last week and stood in the lineup and probably stood on their tiptoes while they were sightseeing. They were there for the big wedding, but they probably wanted to see inside Buckingham Palace. But they're not in the royal family. Quite a difference. You can get close to the royal family on special occasions. Big difference between being close to the royal family and being in the royal family with all its perks. I used to be a real big Kennedy fan. I'm a Canadian, but I used to be pretty wrapped up with the Kennedy family, iconic Kennedy family in the States. When I was a teenager, I had their pictures plastered on my wall. I guess I was into politics a little bit. And when Bobby Kennedy was shot, Robert Kennedy was shot, I had a picture here, black and white picture, and had one framed here, and it just hung this way. And every once in a while, I put an American flag, and I'd even put some flowers between the two pictures, like in memory of Bobby Kennedy. And I wrote Ethel Kennedy. That was his widow. And just to let her know that I'm sympathizing with her in the loss of her husband. And Ethel wrote me back. She sent me a nice little card and a picture of her slain husband. And I still cherish that. It's one of those keepsakes. So we were down to Hyannisport. That's their big summer home. And it's a Kennedy compound in Cape Cod. And so, of course, I wanted to see it. And it's got a really high fence. And so here I am out of the car, and I am standing on my tiptoes looking. I can see the rooftop of the big Kennedy compound, and I can see a couple of their houses in there. And I'm looking as I'm up there, and I'm trying to see over the fence, trying to see in. But I was on the outside. I wasn't in. And don't tell anybody this. I don't know whether it was, there was no sign that, saying you couldn't do it. But the closest thing I could come to being a part of that whole thing was I took a chip of the wood off the fence. Just a little slither of the wood off the fence. And I have that home too. Off the outside of the fence that guarded the Kennedy compound. That's the best I could do. Quite different, isn't it? Being on the outside. Don't you settle for a little sliver off the fence. Don't you rest until you're absolutely sure you're in the family of God. The broadest availability. It says, as many as received him. As many. There's no limit to that. If 100 receive him, come on in. If 1,000, as many as received him. As many means whoever receives Christ. It doesn't say whoever subscribes to our code of rules at this church, whoever conforms with our policies, whoever is baptized, whoever takes Holy Communion, whoever attends church faithfully will be in the family of God. It has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about him. As many as received him. How much plainer does the Bible have to be? As many, whoever, for all. And I guess that's what gives me just a little shot of adrenaline. That's why I'm not working where I used to work. Because when it gripped my heart, Peter, the gospel is a message for whoever. What really spoke to me when I was employed secularly in the health system, I worked in hospitals for years, and that's just mending broken bones, fixing and doing all that kind of stuff to the physical structure of the human anatomy. But then my territory broadened and became responsible for chemical dependency services, addictions. And my offices were right in that building. And I would come out of that building and I would see teenagers and young people sitting on the doorstep. They were in our programs, in our detox programs, in our rehab programs. And I'm not belittling those programs. Those are the best possible programs that professionals can come up with. But what bothered me was they would come through our programs. It was like a revolving door. 4 months later, I would see the same faces back in again. And I thought, the best that professionals can do for these people are band-aid solutions, patch-up jobs. These people need peace inside. They need Christ. And that was really one of the things that just sort of gave me a little push to go leave my job and do this full time, because this great message that we're preaching is for whoever. I just emailed Scott this afternoon. We've been in touch since last November. Scott is a cocaine addict, and he's heard the gospel. Mom's a believer, a Christian. His grandparents are in heaven. Scott's in his 30s. And he had never, it's been years since being out to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. And he surfaced. Since 1987, he surfaced last November, showed up at a meeting just like this. And so we've been in touch ever since. And so these are some of the, he knows I'm sharing this. I've asked Christians to pray for him from the West Coast here, down in Arlington, all the way to the East Coast. He knows I'm sharing some of this. But here's one email. Peter, as much as you understand God's love, I understand hatred, frustration, lack of control, alcoholism, and drug addictions. You want to try living a life where you don't trust yourself, your next reaction, desire, or thought. All your friends gone because you're so unpredictable. Look into my eyes. You'll see the black hole that is my soul. Try sitting in a basement with a loaded pistol in your mouth, shaking, tearful, but determined. It only takes one right squeeze, but I fear what would happen in the afterlife if I should die at my own hand. And on it goes. Now, Scott isn't what you would call a down and outer. He doesn't have his hand open. Scott drives a Mitsubishi Eclipse Spider, $100,000 vehicle. He holds down a job. And if you saw him, he looks no different than any other clean-cut person here tonight. But what a dark life. And to think that he qualifies to be in the family of God, it's good news. As many, whoever, for all, as many as received him. I'm glad he didn't make it hard or difficult. You know, there are a lot of things that are difficult. You know, I shouldn't be telling on myself because you'll find that I'm not very bright and then I'll lose some credibility. But when I was in high school, I dropped out of academic math because it just didn't make sense to me and I took general. But here I am today. I've survived turbulent teens, and I'm married and three children and life is rolling on. It seemed like a disaster at the time when I did it, but wow, I made it this far. But I still couldn't have handled a complicated formula to get to heaven. I am so glad he made it simple for people like me. Because it says, as many as receive him. That's all you have to do. You don't have to memorize a big long list of things. You don't have to work on a big mathematical formula to get to heaven. You don't have to know your Bible inside out to get into the family of God. Oh, the sweet simplicity. Received him. Do you have a moment in your life when you received him? It's a crucial moment. Without that moment, you cannot be in heaven. Well, you say you're being a little specific. I know. But the Bible talks about a definite point in a person's experience when they receive Christ and their life is changed. I remember the first time I kissed my wife. I remember that. I remember the first day I was a student council president at school. I remember all those things. I remember my first car, not so well. I remember a lot of things. And you probably remember a lot of things too. And as you rewind your life and go back, do you have a time when you first appreciated that Jesus died for me? That's what matters. When you received him. Received him. So simple. And to them that believed in his name. You know how to receive something? People have no difficulty at Christmas time receiving something. It's the simplest possible terms that God has made. Is that for me? Yes, I'll receive it. Is this for you? I remember the night. Yes, it's for me. Well, thank God if this is for me. If Jesus died for me, I'll receive him. And the moment you receive Christ, he puts you into the family of God. He does. The moment you receive him, that's what the verse says. Three super plain statements. It exposes some misconceptions. It says, it's not of the blood. This is verse 13. You don't get into the family of God by the bloodline. It's not in the family genes. Because your mom is a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be in the family of God. It's not of blood. It's not in your family upbringing or your family culture. And nor is it the will of the flesh. It means it's not a personal effort. A lot of people are working really hard. Ah, yes, I can do it. My, I have to stop swearing. And I have to stop doing so much gambling. And I need to go to an anger management class to learn how to control my anger. And I need to give some of my resources, as scarce as they may be, to the poor. And I need to start going to church really regularly. No, it says it's not of the will of the flesh. It's not in personal effort. It's not in our works or behavior, our deeds or actions. That's clear. It's not a pay-as-you-go. It's not a point system. You might be able to get to Hawaii on air miles, but you can't get to heaven on air miles. It's him. You have to have him. And then it says, it's not of the will of man. You know what that means? No one, no man or woman on earth has any authority to say, I now pronounce you a child of God. By virtue of the fact that you have been baptized, you are now in the family of God. No, it's not of the will of man, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. It's to those who received him. It's a tremendous mystery that he would make that available to us in such sweetly simple terms. How could he do it? When Christ died for our sins, he opened up the door. Our sins up until that point were a major obstacle in our relationship with God. But when Jesus Christ died for our sins, it's like he's saying, okay, I dealt with the problem of sins. Now you come unto me. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so it's as many as received him. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to hang your head and weep because you can't wrap your head around it. You don't have to deprive yourself of food or anything like that to become a member, to become a child of God. Receive Christ. And it's on the strongest possible authority. Not a human pronouncing you saved. It says, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's God's authority. And tonight, if you're not in the family of God, you know what the saddest possibility is? That you've heard about the possibility of being in the family of God. And you stand outside, looking in, maybe taking something and hoping this will be good enough. But never having entered in. For those who are not in the family of God, it's hell. Tonight, as many as received him, he made the children of God.